English scientists say they've discovered a gene that could control fruit ripening, meaning that growers could extend the shelf life of their produce. Australian food innovation experts say it's an exciting breakthrough, but there's still a long way to go until we might see some results. Eliza Rogers reports.
The cells that power life on Earth are continually studied to unlock new secrets to how we can change and improve the natural world around us. And scientists at the University of Leicester in the UK have found something very exciting. After 12 years, Professor Paul Jarvis has uncovered a gene that may be able to control how fast fruit ripens.
I think first and foremost, what we have is a significant fundamental breakthrough in biology. You mentioned that we've identified a fruit ripening gene. Well, actually, that remains to be seen. This is an idea that we haven't yet tested, let's put it that way.
So in your words, what have you found?
Well, basically, we've discovered a new mechanism that controls important aspects of plant growth and development.
So basically, you've honed in on chloroplasts, which create the photosynthesis, and you found that chloroplasts are affected by a process which breaks down proteins in the cell. So now you're looking at manipulating those proteins to control the chloroplasts. What will that do?
During plant development, chloroplasts can change into other different types of structure. So during fruit ripening, they change into, well, depending on the fruit, they change into bright red organelles called chromoplasts. And the regulatory mechanism that we've discovered should be able to modify that transition. So the idea is that using the gene that we've discovered, we can manipulate the extent to which fruit ripening occurs and the rate at which it occurs.
And how did you actually discover this particular thing? Did you almost stumble across it in the laboratory, or how did you find it?
No, it's using genetics. So we screened a very large population of plants for individuals that exhibited differences in their development of chloroplasts. One of the individuals that we picked up happened to have a mutation in this gene, SP1.
And now you're applying it to tomatoes, capsicums and citrus. How much further will this go, or can this go?
Oh, well, at the moment, we're just working with tomato. You're right to point out that there are other crops that the work could be applied to, and then that's perhaps something for the future. But we have to take it one step at a time.
To take this a step further, what will this mean to farmers if they can regulate their fruit ripening?
Well, it might help to prolong the shelf life of certain fruits, reducing waste, or it might enable farmers to expedite fruit ripening when time's limiting.
And is this genetic modification?
Well, it certainly could. The most efficient way to take the work forward would be to use genetic modification, but that's not necessarily the only way forward. The work could be used to inform more traditional breeding strategies.
Professor Jarvis says the research team will know within a year whether the research has promise in relation to fruit ripening. And he says it will be another several years until we can use the technology in the field. Robert Henry is the director of the Queensland Alliance for Agriculture and Food Innovation. He says the discovery is a huge step and could help make food systems more efficient and controlled.
Well, this appears to be a very important fundamental breakthrough, an improvement in our understanding of basic plant biology that could have major implications for food quality, food shelf life, many aspects of agriculture and food production. There are many issues around how we produce food efficiently, that's very important, but then food that has an appropriate shelf life, food that has the right attributes to suit consumers in terms of post-harvest storage and appeal, that retains desirable nutritional components.
Do you think this could ignite the genetically modified debate?
It's possible that it could. It's likely that GM products could be based upon this technology, but it's also quite possible that this technology can be used quite extensively without the need for GM technology.
The University of Leicester's study has been funded by UK government agency, the Biotechnology and Biological Sciences Research Council.